Greetings, friends. This is Dr. Mark Sharona, and I want to welcome you to The Edge podcast, where all things theological, psychological, spiritual, and cultural will be explored so that you and I might understand the times and know what to do about them. Enjoy. I want to focus in on a very familiar portion of Scripture in 2 Kings chapter 2, the first 12 verses, where the mantle is passed from Elijah to Elisha. And the reason I want to focus in on that is perhaps share some fresh insights in relationship to what's going on right now and where things could be going if we were paying attention, or where they want to go if we're going to be obedient. There's a gap between where we are and where we're going. And that gap is the distance between our current reality and the reality God desires for us to walk in obedience, as we sense and see what wants to happen. Now, in John 16, verse 13, Jesus tells us that one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit is that when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will lead us and guide us into all truth, and He will disclose what is to come. In other words, there are things that want to happen that haven't happened yet, and He will disclose them to us if we want to hear and see by the Spirit the true things that want to happen. Now, a lot of things are trending in the culture. Let me just say this as we move into this. A lot of things are trending in the current culture. Not all of them are trending towards the truth. We need to be aware of what is trending, number one, and also what is trending away from truth as opposed to towards truth. And so if we go back now to 2 Kings chapter 2, at this period of transition between Elijah going up by whirlwind into heaven and Elisha receiving the mantle, they are going to together cross the Jordan and stand in the gap between what was and what will be. And that gap, I believe, is where the church, as God's prophetic community, is right now. I believe we are in the midst of a change of seasons, and I also believe that a new era is dawning, yet it hasn't fully come yet. So we are in what has been called liminal space, or an in-between space, an in-between time. And in that in-between place, where we've crossed the threshold between what was and what wants to be, what can be, what wants to emerge, there is a certain amount of uncertainty that challenges our sense of stability and equilibrium. And so, first and foremost, we need to understand that what's coming to an end, and it's been coming to an end for 40 years, is what's still hanging on from modernity, from a former generation, from the modern era, which began with the Enlightenment. But modernity gave way to something called post-modernity. And we haven't even begun to hit the cusp of what is the postmodern era while we are moving through it. And so postmodern implies that something modern is over. And one of the many things in modernity was the elevation of reason above all other things. Well, postmodernity implies that everything is up for grabs, that even reason can be challenged. And so one of the major foundations of the postmodern worldview is that there is no absolute truth, and all the lines get blurred in every sphere of life and every sphere of culture. Well, when we look at the passing of the mantle from Elijah to Elisha, it's happening at a time when there's actually a shift, even politically, within the nation surrounding Israel and even within Israel itself, because a king will pass from the scene and another king will take the place of that king on the throne in Israel in the transition between Elijah and Elisha. And so the question becomes, in the in-between time, how do we deal with the flow of time from a former season to a new season if indeed we are to navigate our way into a future that's been promised by God, that can come and desires to come and will come as we cooperate with Him. So here's the thing. God is eternal. And so the way God moves through the processes of His purpose and the way we experience them are quite different. And you and I need to understand that the Eternal One is our dwelling place. And yet for us, time doesn't wait. And not only doesn't time wait for us, time changes everything. Time hits all of us, and we need to realize that because time hits all of us, we all have to move through time the way we experience it as moving from the past to the present to the future. Now, contrary to popular belief as it relates to the prophetic, the future cannot be predicted. There are certain things we can key in on, yet we need to remember that we know in part and we prophesy in part. So the future can't be fully known, and it's coming whether we want to admit it or not, and it's coming whether we're prepared for it or not. The goal is to be prepared for what wants to happen, those previews of coming attractions. And so when Elijah and Elisha are in this transitional place, it's not just Elijah and Elisha that sense the transition. Elijah knows he is about to depart. That much he knows. He doesn't know where the departure is going to take place. Neither does Elisha. So when I say that the future can't be fully known, I'm breaking this down for you within the story in 2 Kings 2, the first 12 verses, so that you can take some time and read those later on. But when it's time for the Lord to take Elijah by whirlwind, there are these places that Elijah is led to: Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and then the Jordan, and then into the Jordan and beyond the Jordan into what would be called Transjordan territory, into unknown territory where there will be a catching up. He will be caught up in the whirlwind, and he will ascend in the cloud, and he will no longer be seen. The mantle will fall. Elisha will pick it up. But interestingly enough, he knows he's being taken up. He doesn't know until the moment comes how and where he's going to be caught up by that whirlwind. And so we also know that the sons of the prophets, the schools of the prophets in Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho, know he's going to be removed. That much they know. They don't know where, they don't know when, they just know. And they know enough to be a nuisance to Elisha, because every place that Elijah goes, Elisha sticks close by him. And at every single place, Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho, the sons of the prophets say to Elisha, "Don't you know that the Lord is going to take your master from over you today?" Literally in the Hebrew, it's, "Don't you know that the Lord will take away your headship from over you?" The over you is tied to your headship is going to be removed. Elijah is your headship. And so this whole issue of the prophetic headship over the nation, that Elijah is the prophet to the nation, the headship over the nation is going to be removed. And so there's going to be this precarious moment where there's going to be a gap. And in that gap, there's this holy waiting for the next era to begin, for the next season to dawn. But that next season cannot dawn unless there is another generation in place to pick up where the former generation left off. And while God is changeless, and while God is eternal, the challenges come in time for human beings that move from the past to the present into the future, because we don't always take our cues well by faith in terms of moving into the future. So there's a precarious place when we cross that threshold in between a former era and a not yet born era, between a former somewhere and a new somewhere, where it's precarious because we have to be paying attention. We have to be prayerfully aware so that we're ready for the moment when it arrives, even if we don't know where and when that moment will come. And so for Elisha, Elisha lets Elijah know that wherever wherever Elijah is going to go, Elisha is going to be there until the Lord separates them. And at every place where they do go, from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho, Elijah tests Elisha and says, stay here because the Lord has led me as far as, and he goes to the next city. But Elisha says to him, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And this happens at every single place, Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho. Now, it happens that all these places are part of the historic moments when Israel entered the land under Joshua. He is now revisiting the key places, and the Bethel that he visits is actually the place near Ai. This is not the Bethel where Jacob saw the heavens opened and the angels ascending and descending. This is the Bethel that is near Ai, where the sons of Israel were destroyed and defeated because someone at Jericho, Achan, took what belonged to the Lord, and it was under the ban, and the entire nation was judged. And so Ai stands as a reminder of having to be obedient. So Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho become historic reminders in this season that is coming to an end, that the same way they entered the land, that they could be exiled from the land. Now, that will happen a few generations later when Nebuchadnezzar comes in, and all of that is tied into this story. However, in this present moment, at every place they go, however historic it is, when Elijah says to Elisha, stay here, Elisha's response is, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And the sons of the prophets at every place say, don't you know? Well, Elisha says, yes, I do know. Be still. He is telling them they don't know enough to know everything. They know in part, they prophesy in part. And he is telling them, you are not practicing watchful silence because you have stopped at the revelation you got, which is the Lord is taking the master from over me today as headship. But that's all you know. What you don't know is what I know. And what I know is I am to stick close to him until that transition, because I will receive the double portion. So he knows something that all the prophetic schools don't know. It's interesting that when God calls Elisha, and that God commissions Elijah to find him, that Elisha doesn't come from one of the schools of the prophets. Elisha is industrially working with his hands, laboring, plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He's the overseer and the foreman for his father's family business. He's an entrepreneur, and obviously he's been called to something else. And when the mantle hits him, he knows what that is, and we all know that story. But Elisha is in Abel-Meholah, which is part of the tribe of Issachar, that is part of Issachar territory. He's a true son of Issachar. So he understands the times and knows what to do. And so in this moment, this is a moment where there's a gap in the prophetic community. And while all the company of the prophets sense the change is imminent, the question is, what will that change look like? And they don't know. And Elisha knows enough to tell them they're not practicing watchful silence. But he is. And Elisha is going to become the recipient of the transitional phase where the mantle will be given and he will cross back into known territory, the promised land, from unknown territory in the Transjordan, where the transition took place. Because the transition and the passing of the mantle doesn't take place in known familiar territory. It takes place in territory out on the edge, on the periphery. And this, my dear friends, is so important for us to understand even right now. The modern culture has collapsed, and there are many things that were lingering that are still collapsing. So when you hear experts talk about the culture collapsing, they're talking about the end of modernity and what we've been in as post-modernity for the last 30 or 40 years. There are things collapsing all around us, and with that, and the natural boundaries are collapsing, identities are collapsing, everything is collapsing. And while some people have an apocalyptic vision and are saying, it's all over, well, what's the it that's all over? Because God's not done yet. And the gospel hasn't been preached in every nation yet. So God's not done yet. So what's over is the world that was constructed in the modern era that has been rejected. And the postmoderns have come up and said, well, there's no absolute truths. There were a pluralistic culture, and everybody's got their own truth. And we're watching that thing play out. out, but it too is collapsing. And we're in a season of great complexity. And so it's very hard to sort out the pieces. It's going to take the Spirit of truth to lead us and guide us into all truth, which is why we need to humble ourselves and stay close to what the Scriptures reveal, what the Son of God is doing, what the Spirit by the Scriptures and the Son on behalf of the Father are being, we're being led into, so that we can be in the right place at the right time, because God is always on time and God isn't in bondage to anybody's clock. We're bound by time. We're forced to act within a tiny window of time. We experience time as past, present, and future. And for us, past can't be divorced or recovered. And the past can't be recovered, and the future isn't available. Augustine said that in his Confessions. He said the past cannot be recovered, and the future isn't available. We have to act in between what was and what will be. And the tiny window we have to do that is the present moment. And believe it or not, they've done studies, the present moment lasts for about 7 seconds. So when that moment comes, when the whirlwind begins to blow and the chariots of God, the chariot throne, the same chariot throne that Ezekiel saw when he was caught up into the glory, that chariot throne with the horsemen, the living creatures with the wheels within the middle of the wheels, comes and separates Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and Elisha are talking as they're going, because Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing if you want the double portion, but if you see when I'm taken from you. So he's got his eyes glued on him. He wants to see what is going to take place at the transition. And there comes this moment, this present moment, maybe 7 seconds, where he's got to seize that moment. And in seizing that moment, as he gets ready to step into the future, he loses everything that he relied on to get there. Because he cries out in grief, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen thereof, and he doesn't see Elijah anymore. So in order to step into the new thing, he has to lose what he's had. And a lot of people want to take everything with them into the future, but we've got to travel light. And he strips himself of his own clothes. He tears them in pieces in the same way that the Jordan was parted in two, in the same way that the heaven was split open in two by the chariots of Israel. Now Elijah, at a personal level, has to rip what he's been wearing in two, because what got him into the present moment, he can no longer wear into the future, because he can't put on the mantle unless he takes off what he's been wearing up until that point. And so I want to suggest to you as I close that you think about these things, meditate on 2 Kings 2, verses 1 to 12, and ask God to bring you into a place in this season where you can understand the times and know what to do. Begin to pay attention to where the culture is trending and find out whether all the things that you're following that are trends are really true, or whether they're taking you away and are a distraction from where the Spirit of truth wants to take you. And stay faithful to God. Stay obedient to God. Stay in his word. Continue to worship and bless the Father. Continue to follow in obedience the Son, who is the King. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and stay faithful to the triune God. And remember that God is always on time, and that you have to change through time. And that in the same way that there is a mantle that's falling, it can fall at all of our feet as a company if we will seize the moment and be present to the moment and say yes when that time comes. Until next time, God bless.